chef over a dog food she endorses. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has more on this story.
In a TV commercial for Rachel Ray Nutrish dog food, Ray herself says,
"That's slow-roasted chicken. Here's a carrot. These are the whole ingredients you'll see in every dish from Nutrish recipe."
But she's facing a $5 million lawsuit over a claim that her dog food also contains a chemical weed killer. The lawsuit argues that testing by an independent lab found the dog food contains a chemical herbicide used in things like Roundup weed killer. The company that makes the dog food says it's reviewing details of the claim, but it stands behind the quality of its products, ingredients, and sourcing. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The Wall Street Journal reported that President Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, is under investigation for tax fraud. Cohen did not respond to the allegations. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or perhaps want to be one for the first time, listen up. Seeking non-doctor entrepreneurs to operate a niche medical clinic for erectile dysfunction with no needles, no medication, and no surgery. I tried it out myself to see if it works. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's an all-cash business. No insurance. The income potential is enormous. You need $100,000 liquid to get started. Go to medicalpartnership.info. That's medicalpartnership.info. Medicalpartnership.info.
Yesterday, Antifa protesters surrounded a Philadelphia restaurant where Turning Point USA leaders Charlie Kirk and Communications Director Candace Owens were trying to have a peaceful breakfast. The Antifa folks did pour water on Kirk, but he said he knows their ultimate goal.
They want us to apologize or back away from our support of the president. They are so frustrated that this president is succeeding, right, and they cannot reconcile with the fact that he's going to be the greatest president in modern American history and that the economy is booming, and you see them losing their mind, and they're resorting to these mob thuggish tactics.
Today, voters head to the polls in five states to decide Democrat and Republican primaries. Now, there's some Democrats that are out there pushing that Medicare for All proposal, but Dr. Mark Siegel joined Fox News to say why this will never happen.
It's not going to work in America for two reasons. One, we already talked about the price tag. Two, it's a direct attack on the employer health care system, Bill. 170 million people are already insured through their employer. And that works for both employer and employee. You know why? Employer doesn't have to pay taxes on the amount that they're giving. And for the employee, it's an incentive. I'll take that job. I get my health coverage through that. So that's a system that would be under direct attack here. The insurance companies are never going to let this happen. They're an enormous lobby in the United States. That's why it's a Democrat talking point. Our insurance industry, I think, and you've heard me say this on this show many times, is too strong.
Please check us out online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
is I'm going to here. I'm already live on there. I'm going to come into Facebook. So, anyway, it should be on there. So I go to my business page. I go to Business Manager. And I go to Publishing Tools.
Yep.
And I go to Videos Library and Live. And voila. I take that, copy, and now I start the broadcast up. And I go to Settings. And I go to Stream, and I paste it here, paste, and say OK, and do a Start Streaming. And when I come back here, this button's not blue.
Give it a minute.
Maybe that's it, I'm just not patient enough. So I tried it a couple of times and didn't come up.
There is a delay. It is going over here, and it looked like it was. Yeah, it's all going. Okay, let's just make sure. That's the, probably the one you copied and pasted.
Yeah.
Let's see, is it there now?
It looks like it's just not shaking hands.
Yeah, that's true. Let me just try it again. I have not seen this happen yet. Let's just see if doing that and then that makes a difference.
Let's give it a second. You just have an audio broadcast tonight.
Yeah.
All right. I'll turn around again in a couple of minutes and blue. I'll click it on. So I'm going to get not mine, but just the channel. So that's good. I'll make it work.
Yeah. I don't know. See, maybe. That's weird.
Hey, it's Joe Peters of Real Estate Matter. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty, but I think we are on the air. So if you can hear me, thank you for tuning in. It is Tuesday, the 7th of August, and it's a little bit after 4 o'clock. We're going to give you an intro to the weather, and we're going to get started.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So it's Joe Peters with the weather forecast. It is 91 and a tad of clouds. Looks like we might get some showers tomorrow. It's going to be 89, 88 the next day. Each day for a little threat of rain. It's been the way it's been for the last 2 weeks. At least the monsoons have stopped, but we're still getting a tad of rain. So hot and humid, that's the weather forecast for downtown Flemington. Let me play one more intro, and we're going to get started here with Real Estate Matters.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And just to introduce myself, here is my paid commercial.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, and once again, it's Joe Peters of Real Estate Matters. I'm a mild-mannered real estate agent covering both Hunterdon and Somerset. I've been doing this for about 15 years professionally, work for Coldwell Banker, and I do primarily residential real estate. Being from the area for such a long time, I've got a pretty good finger on the pulse of what's going on, and that's what this show is all about. I take the statistics from last month, which I call the What Is Happening, and I take two different other services that I subscribe to, and I consolidate their thinking with mine and come up with the why it's happening, which is even more important than what's happening. So let me start. I'm going to talk a little about Hunterdon and a little about Somerset and tell you what is happening. We sold 156 houses last month. The month before, we sold 204, so it dropped off about 25%. And 76% of those houses were under 500K, and only 5% or 8 of the sales was above 700K, with the balance being in between those two numbers. We're sitting with about a 6-month supply, which is a stable inventory. 4 to 6 is about where things should be, and that means if we have 10 houses for sale and we sold 2, you divide 2 into the 10, and you got a 5-month supply. That's where we come up with that number. We're sitting with a 6-month supply, and if you get under the 500K mark, it's 4 and 3. I mean, it's a really good market down there, because that's where our first and second time buyers are sort of shopping at. When you get up above the 500 mark, it goes south fairly quickly, 500 to 600, 8-month supply. So that means once you're above 7 months or higher, there's pressure on the prices. Once you're at sort of 5 or lower, there's a competitive bid situation happening typically. So we're sitting at 6. We're comfortable. And what I can say in general for Hunterdon County is the higher your price and the further west you are, the more difficult it is to sell your house. Further west at any price and higher, definitely over the 600 mark, it gets soft really quick. But interesting, we listed 230 houses, so we listed almost 80 more than we sold, and we have a total of 945 on the market. Our average list price has been 497, or let's say 500 for round numbers, and average sale price has been 391, or let's say 400. That gives us about a 20% vig there. You're listing higher typically because sellers want to try it at a little higher rate up front. I encourage them not to, but a lot do. And then they mark it down in order to get it sold eventually. And then secondly, we're selling today what got listed 3 to 6 months ago. Our average days on the market right now is 59. So it's 2 months to get a contract on your house across the whole county. Some towns are better than others. As I said, your hot spots have always been Clinton Township is one, Raritan and Reddington. If you look at those three towns, they constitute 42% of all of our business. But if you look at the month supply, let me go through the hot spots. The town of Clinton, 2 months supply. Town of Glen Gardner, 1 month supply. Sometimes this is an anomaly. Franklin Township, 4 months supply. Bloomsbury, 3 months supply. That's pretty far to the west. But when you get over to Alexandria, and especially the far part of Alexandria going west, 9 months supply in general. Hampton, that's the furthest north we go in Hunterdon County, 12-month supply. Lambertville, farthest south we could go in Hunterdon County, 10-month supply. And in Milford, little old factory town along the river, it's really a great place to live. Just not a lot of people can commute to New York, if any, from there. And as a result, we've got about a 14-month supply. So, in order to get an accurate figure for what this means to your house and selling price, we need to actually take the price point that your house is in and look at it in one of the 26 municipalities of Hunterdon County that you live in. And then I come up with some comparable sales for the last 6 months, and we look at it from a relationship to taxable amount, relationship to square foot, and what other houses that are very much like yours have sold for. A lot of times we get into a townhouse or a condo. It's pretty easy because they're commodities. There's three more just like them sold in the last 6 months. They're pretty easy to price. They're between the lowest and the highest. But you get a house and somebody's built an addition or has done something differently, sometimes it's a little more difficult to price that house out as accurate as that. But we can. And typically, houses, when they sell in New Jersey, sell within 2 to 3% of the final list price. That means if you listed it at $550 and finally lowered the price to $500, you're going to sell around $485, 3% off. And that's pretty average statewide. So let me talk about Somerset County, just so you can see the difference. Somerset County, remember I said in Hunterdon County we had 156 sales. In Somerset County, we had 423 sales. So you've got a lot more selling over there. Pretty natural. It's a county of 275,000 people versus our 125,000. So it's not triple us, but I guess, you know, it's headed in that direction. It's 2.5 times our volume anyway. They had 460 new houses on the market, and they have a total of 1,500. So they have 1,500 for sale. We have 900 for sale. Their average month supply is 4 months, and their average days on the market is 55, almost what ours is. But their market doesn't get into trouble till you get up over $1 million. Now, you'd say, well, why does that happen? We all know New York drives our market. The closer you are to New York, the easier and the more you're going to get for your house. Easier to sell, the more money you're going to get. Just like in Hunterdon County, the further west you are, further from New York, the harder it is to sell and the less you're going to get from your house. I have people in Milford just trying to move back to Union Township or Clinton. So they bought over there because it was inexpensive. They've commuted themselves to the point where they're talking to themselves, and now they're saying, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting back at least to Clinton general area. Save me 15 miles each way. Somerset County, average list price, $551. If you remember, I said Hunterdon County was $500. They're usually about 20% higher than us. And the average sale price was $493, and our average sale price was $390. So that number's holding true. 63% of their houses were under 500, where I said 76% of our houses were under 500K. And 5% or 23 sold over $1 million. So we had 8 sales over 700,000. They had 23 sales over $1 million. If I added up the sales over 700,000, you'd have 35, 55, 65, so 78. 78 versus 8. They're selling 10 times what we're selling in the upper end of the market. Our market gets soft, really soft, above the 750 mark. 750 all the way through $1 million is sort of a no man's land. We sold in the 700 to $1 million last month, 5-6 houses. Then we sold 2 over $1 million. They sold in the 700s 20 houses, in the 800s 15 houses, in the 900s 20 houses, in the over $1 million 23 houses. Even there, they're looking at a 12-month supply over $1 million. We're looking at a 36-month supply over $1 million. Big difference. Now, think about this logistically, because I'm involved in both chambers of commerce, and I've taken the leadership course both in Hunterdon and in Somerset, and I've been instructed and trained and involved in both of their sets of circumstances, including the problems that the counties face. If you were coming out of Newark Airport and you were headed west and you were looking for the first nice place to stop and look for a house along 78, it would probably be Watchung, Gillette, Warren, somewhere in that area. It starts to get nice. It starts to get less dense. By dense, I mean people per square foot. You go through Middlesex, Union, and some of those other counties in that general area, and people are still a lot of houses on 50 or 75 by 100. You get out to Somerset, you're up to an acre. You get to Hunterdon, you're probably on 2 or 3 acres. So it gets less dense the more west you go, but in effect, it's more expensive the less west you go. So if you're going to start in Warren, the average price in Warren last month was over $1 million, sale price. Yeah, they have houses below that, but the average sale price was over $1 million. And our average sale price in our highest end area, Tewksbury, is probably in a 500,000 to 600,000 area. I don't have that number in front of me, but it's nowhere near that. Secondly, once again, it's more dense as you go to the east. You're probably getting half the square footage in property in Somerset County that you're getting in Hunterdon, even though you're paying 20% more because there's less property available and they're building out in a more dense fashion. So let's just equate Hunterdon to Somerset. Two great places to live. I've lived in Hunterdon for 20 years. I moved here from Middlesex County, and I'm not looking back. It's been a great 20 years, and we don't regret it one bit. Yet, I do business in Somerset County, Warren, Watchung, Bridgewater, Branchburg. It's not a bad place to live, and it's a lot closer, maybe 15 minutes, to New York in general. And as a result, they're getting more sales, and they're getting more for the units that are over there. So that's what's happening. We're brisk in our sales. My general observations, I'll go through this a little more in dense and relationship to why this is happening. But what we're seeing is the traffic for sales usually slows down around July 1st. The reason for that is you cannot get the children back into school if you buy after July 1st. And the market just slows down. People go on vacation, they give up, they're going to look again next year, whatever the excuse might be. This year it didn't slow down. The market didn't slow down because there are so many unfulfilled buyer requirements out there. People are still looking. And secondly, we're seeing more and more pent-up sales coming on the market. Now, what do I mean by a pent-up sale? We, during the early 2000s, 2000 to 2008, usually saw people selling their house on an average of 7-8 years. They turned it over one reason or another, need a bigger one, need a smaller one, need a different one. That didn't happen because of the financial crisis and all the short sales. And some people were laid off or cut back, and some people weren't getting the bonuses they used to get. So they sat still. And while they sat still, they paid off more and more of their mortgage, because once you pass that 10-year mark on your mortgage, you're paying down a lot of equity compared to back when you're in a 5 or 6 years into the mortgage. Now, since June 1st, I've listed three, and I'm talking to a fourth, people who have bought off of me in the last 10 years that are now, and one almost 15, thinking it's time to sell. It's time to move on. And the reason they move on varies. We always say a real estate sale is a life event. It's a result of a life event. You had more children, you need a bigger house. You have less children, they went to college, you need a smaller house. You're getting to be a senior, you need a different style house, maybe one floor living. Divorce or death, you need a smaller, maybe townhouse or condo living. But what we're seeing, which is startling and troubling at the same time, is that three of the four people, one got transferred, so it's not fair, but he's going to New York. Three of the four people are moving out of state. And in one instance, they're just saying, I don't want to pay these taxes anymore. I'm going to go to a different state. And if, especially you're retired, You have no financial nexus to the state that you're in. In other words, you can collect your retirement and annuities and whatever anywhere you live. You don't have to live in New York. You just go in 5 miles into Pennsylvania and you can cut your general expenses in half. And when people are discovering they have all this equity, they're taking out the equity, selling the house and taking out the equity, taking the equity in most cases, even buying something for cash, and they're going to live happily ever after. Now, that doesn't work if you still have to go to New York. And it doesn't work if you still have to go near to New York, because you can't go to Pennsylvania and sanely, and I use the word sane because it just takes a lot of time, sanely drive or bus into New York. It's a long trip. So we're seeing this paradigm shift that the market didn't slow down. The buyers are still out. The sellers are starting to appear on the market. They're coming out of the woodwork, and the market is keep going. Yet, we still dropped 25% in sales in Hunterdon County last month. And if I look at Somerset County, they had 429 the month before. They were down to 423, so they hardly changed at all. Why is this happening? This is the key to understanding where we're at. An increase of 1% in New Jersey home sales year-to-date helped to record over 12,000 sales, which is a record. By the way, this newsletter is, and I've got a Hunterdon County, Somerset County version, is on my site, jpeters.com, under blog, under market reports. You can either read it there, print it out, or subscribe, and I'll send it to you in email each month. Activity concentrates in the under 400K market. That's your first-time buyer, and to a great extent, your second-time buyer. What do I mean by a second-time buyer? He sells the first-time buyer a house between 150 and 300, and then he turns around and buys a house between 300 and 400. So the under 400K market is a lot of times both the first- and second-time buyers. At the same time, the number of homes being offered for sale is at an all-time low. Were minus 4,000 homes compared just a year ago in New Jersey. 30,000 lower than in 2011. We literally have half the inventory we had 7 years ago. We have an acute shortage of inventory in both Hunterdon and Somerset County. Right now we have 6% less inventory than a year ago in Hunterdon. And in Somerset County we have... Let me just read this again because I read it wrong. Hunterdon and Somerset have 1 and 6% less, respectively, than a year ago. And those counties have 12 and 18% less inventory, respectively, than 2 years ago. So we don't have as many houses. Why don't we have as many houses? One reason is we haven't built any entry-level housing above the COA level. The COA is an affordable housing limit, and it's a whole different subject matter than what we're talking about here today. You have to be income-constrained in order to get into it. It's called moderate living, and it's geared to what you earn and what the average median wage is per county. So above that, which is what we call free market, we haven't built a thing. I'll give you a good example. We built a whole... four complexes up in Beaverbrook in the 2000 to 2005. I live in one of them. We haven't built anything like that. The houses that are now selling for $300 and $400 were built for $200 and $300 back then. We haven't built anything like that since then. So we have no entry-level housing. At the other end, the people, probably in their 50s, they're in the tail, the middle of the baby boomer. The baby boomers are starting to retire. They're 66 at the high end, and they're probably about 48 at the low end. So let's say the 48 to 56, they typically buy one more house. The kids have gone or they're off to school. They'll be back for a couple of weeks here and there. They finally say, you know what? We owe it to ourselves. Why don't we out and buy that house that we always dreamed on? They're not doing it anymore. The reason they're not doing it anymore is twofold. They're not seeing the house as a good investment. In other words, they think they may buy a house in the 800s and it'll only be worth 700 in a year or two because those prices are coming down a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. They're not going up, that's for sure. Number two, there used to be a tax reason for buying it. And in a lot of instances, if you earn less than $400,000, these new tax rules aren't affecting you as far as the high end, But since we've doubled the minimum deduction, the minimum deduction being doubled gives you whatever the tax incentive of buying a bigger house might have been. So it's not deemed a good investment, and it's not deemed a good tax investment. So people aren't doing it. They're staying put. They're fixing the house that they're in. They're putting an extra room on. They're redoing the kitchen. They're ripping out the living room and making a master bedroom suite out of it so they don't have to go up and down the stairs. And a lot of cases, they're actually screwing up the value of the house going forward. But you know what? They're not thinking about that right now. They're thinking about the next 10 years. And in a lot of cases, they could put it back the way it was. And they're saying, rather than buy an $800,000, let's take our $550,000, put $100,000 into it, make it so it's livable for us, and we'll live here for the next 10 years. And the kids already grew up here. They love it. The three bedrooms still upstairs. They're configuring it for today. The other issue we're seeing is interest rates. And this is an ongoing thing. Last week, we decided to leave the interest rates where they were on a national level, so that we can give it one more month at least at the rate they're at. They actually fell slightly. They were at 4.57 the month before. They were at 4.53 last month for a 30-year fixed if you have good credit. 15-year conventionals are just over 4, and you can get down to 3.875 on a 5-year. Consumer fears, and this is a 1-2 punch of interest keeps rising or will keep rising. It's gone up at least a half a point since the first of the year. It's gone up over a point and a quarter since the elections in 16. They're thinking every time it goes up one more point, I lose 9% of my buying value. So they're not moving ahead. And they're fearful of, I should say they're not moving ahead, they're fearful that if they don't do something now, they're going to pay more for the same house later. And I said there's a 1-2 punch. One is interest is going up, and two is prices are going up. So there's a 1-2 punch. If we just go this year from 4% to 5%, which it looks like it very well may do, or pretty close to it, the average buyer will lose 9% of their buying power because they can, at 5%, only borrow as much as if they could borrow $500,000 at 4%, they can only borrow $455,000 at 5% because they're going to get 9% less. That's just the difference in the interest rate. Secondly, we're seeing the prices go up, especially in the under $400,000 market. We're seeing 6, 7% price increases. Some towns have made it back to where the peak was. In most cases, we're still about 10% above where the peak, below where the peak was. So the 1-2 punch is causing people to buy. And at the same time, we're taking a look at, what does the job situation looks like? So you got interest rates, you've got availability of housing, and you've got the fact that prices are going up. We take a look at jobs, and we look at it at a national level and a New Jersey level. At a national level, it ticked up a little to 4% unemployment, still the best we've done in 18 years. And across the board, it's not in bad shape. The GDP hit 4.1 for the second quarter. So on a national level, we're doing fairly good, and it looks like it will continue to improve. This is not political. It's a fact. I got a very interesting statistic here. At the state level, and I'll get back to the statistic, we fell slightly to 4.3%, but we're still 15% higher than what the national level is, or 0.3% higher than 4%. So I guess it's more like 7.5% higher. We only put a few jobs on last month, and it looks like we put on about 33,000 year to date. And if that continues, we'll probably put 45,000 on by year end. That's better than we did last year. But the jobs that we're putting on are good paying jobs. I remember I said I had a statistic. This is prevalent here in New Jersey as well as it is on a national basis. On a national basis, we have 6 million people looking for a job, unemployed, and we have 6.5 million openings. And people would say, well, where's the problem? Well, the problem is we don't have the skill sets to fill the openings. We have unemployed people with the wrong skill sets or geographically in a wrong place that the skill sets they have aren't being looked for, so they're unemployed. And one of the things, and I heard several of our politicians running for governor last year mention, is that we need to educate to the demand of the skill sets rather than to what people want to do for a living. So, a good example, I heard the president of RVCC talk at a job, wasn't a job fair, it was a college fair in Somerset County at Duke Farms, probably early June. And he said, we're getting two-year degrees to people, and they can go on to a four-year college. As a matter of fact, in a lot of instances, they can earn some of those credits while they're in their two-year program. But what we're trying to do is for the people who get two-year degrees now offer them certification. They need a certification in something like a Microsoft engineer for something. And that will last a year or two and become obsolete or change. I'll have to come back and get another certification. A certification may be an additional 6 weeks of education where a two-year degree is a two-year degree. And he's saying if we take the basis of an education, 2 years college, and put some certifications on top, we can start to fulfill the job needs here in New Jersey. And let's forget about the rest of the country. Let's just talk about New Jersey going forward. We have, this sticks out in my mind because we were at RVCC in the Bridgewater. It's on the edge of right as you go past County Line Road. It's off of the Fox Hollow Golf Course there. They've got a lot of industry built into the training. So some of our industry is computerized auto mechanics, computerized diagnostics, welding. He says welding is a great job, not the prettiest job in the world, but he says a welder with a two-year degree under him can go out and earn $90,000. I'm going to let that sink in. A welder, very much in demand across many segments, can earn $90,000 in New Jersey, almost to start. And I would gamble that a four-year degree getting a entry-level job in the New York City area or New York City itself is probably not paying that much money. So it's not like these are menial jobs salary-wise. They just may not be what the people went out the door wanted to do. And a lot of time, it's driven by mom and dad. Mom went to Harvard. Dad went to wherever. The kids are going to go to one of those schools and get the same degree that mom and dad had. Okay, that's fine. Do we have jobs for them? Nobody's thinking about that. We're fulfilling their dream, and there's nothing wrong with it. Rental markets, very low inventory yet on rentals, and foreclosures, we're coming out of it. I just want to get on to some of the other issues as I only have about 15 minutes left here. So let's talk about a recap. Economic conditions. 2017, seventh straight year of 2 million plus job gains. We just passed our 79 month of recovery. 79 months is more months than we've ever had in a row, ever. Ever. Even right after the Second World War, we didn't have 79 months. We have at least another 18 to 24 months before we have a forecasted downturn. We are riding a wave. And although the job situation has been declining for the past 2 years, at 4.4% unemployment, it's 4.3, it's a typo, New Jersey's about 10% above the national average, which is 4.0. The best paying, more attractive jobs are in New York City. Maybe not the best paying if you want to be a welder. And the millennials are headed in that direction. Interest rates have risen 0.5%. We'll probably go up another half by year end, taking away almost 10% of our buying power. And home prices have risen in a 6%+ in our popular housing places and markets. So if a place is Clinton, Reddington, Raritan, that's a popular place. Popular market is the under 400 market. We're seeing very nice appreciation there. Baby boomers are choosing to stay put. Now, baby boomer to me meant, baby boomers are somewhere between 48 and 65 right now. They're starting to retire, but they're staying put. They're not buying that last big house. We talked about that a little. I won't go over it again. And we're starting to see current housing inventory shortage. We have, as I said, almost half the inventory than we had 7 years ago. Foreclosures to a little point offset that. There's confidence that the new Tax and Jobs Act will continue to increase the economy, and the new tax rules appear only to affect the very high. The numbers I'm hearing, who gets affected? You've got to make $400,000 and have a $1 million house before you're affected, and that's as a single person. It's $750 as a couple and own a $1.5 million house. Yeah, we have people that do that in New Jersey. No, we don't have a lot of them. Yes, there's some in Hunterdon County. It's probably half of 1%. In Somerset County, maybe it's 1.5%. So that fear and uncertainty that was thrown around about the tax cut, it's not affecting people. We've virtually had no slowdown because of it. Average age at marriage. Here's changes in lifestyle. Now in the late 30s, up 7 years. Families usually only have one child, maybe two. It's expensive. 65% of all New Jersey homes have no children of school age. Think about that. That's two out of three houses don't have kids of school age. And 50% don't have two people in them. Demand for larger housing is diminishing. As a result of the job situations, buyers are gravitating to areas within 15 miles of New York. It's more of a European lifestyle. People don't want to live as far out as they used to. We came here because I commuted to Newark Airport and Marilyn commuted to New Brunswick. Now that Marilyn's retired, it doesn't matter, and I'm working in real estate right where I live. But if I was still commuting to New York, which I did in my first career of IT and sales and the retail industry, I may not want to live out this far anymore. Secondly, we're seeing, as the demand for larger houses diminishes, a demand for a different kind of house come along, and it's typically a high-rise. It's a luxury high-rise, near-mass transportation, and it's not a sale. It's a rental. So we're seeing a big paradigm shift there. We're going from Center Hall Colonials on 3 acres to multi-floor high-rises near a train station, 15 miles from New York. And it's, you know, we still think the American dream is there. You want to leave with more than you came. But homeowner is still part of it. The homeowner, the home you own may be a different house. It may be a high-rise because we are selling some of those as well. But most of them are just rentals. Builders still building four-bedroom Center Hall Colonials. Four-bedroom Center Hall Colonials. Buyers are thinking high-rise close to mass transportation. It is a mismatch, ladies and gentlemen. Market conditions. We are starting to see warnings of a slowdown in late 2020. Starting to see. Still needs to be monitored. In general, homeowners are sitting with more equity than ever, and they're not using their house as an ATM. So the effect or slowdown on housing may be minimal, if at all, because the last time we not only had the slowdown, but we had people over-mortgaged. Consumer confidence remains extremely high, and the affordability remains high. The fact that I saw an article that said if we raise the interest rates from 4.5 to 9, we'd only lose 10% of our buyers. That's how the affordability is. People have enough money and have paid down enough of their debt that they could afford more on a mortgage. And that's why the mortgage interest rates are going up, because the country in general is trying to make it so that it stands on its own versus being bought down. And as a result, they're letting the interest rate float up. Millennials, 24% of our housing right now is millennials. It could be double that if we could find them housing. Central New Jersey in 1617 showed a surge in houses clustered under 500. The over 600 is getting affected. A lot of times a natural 550 is competing against the 6050 from last year that's now dropped down to 575 because they couldn't sell it. So that's an interesting dynamic too, and it's going to push the prices down below it. Minimal new construction. Where we're building new houses is not enough to make a dent. And the COA thing is a whole other, Council on Affordable Housing. Analysts' five-year forecasts indicate a steady price growth of 3 to 4% over the next 5 years. And mortgage delinquency is normalizing. So We've come from almost 9% foreclosure filings in New Jersey down into the high 3, low 4s. So we've dropped in half in just 3 years. Another 3 years goes by, we're not going to have, other than what we had all the time, a few foreclosures. We're not going to have the foreclosure problem that we see today, left over from the recession. Most of it today is out of the hurricane areas. So here's the forecast. The economy will continue to prosper. And we see no recession in sight for at least 18 months. Interest rates are going to continue to climb. Home prices will rise an average of 3% during the same period. And in some locations, it'll be 6 or 7. If you're above 600,000 in Hunterdon County, I doubt you're going to see any price. You may see some loss. Supply will remain tight, especially in the most popular price points and residential areas. Many new jobs seem to be resulting from Tax and Jobs Act. It is a Tax and Jobs Act, and that's what it's intended to do. I'm also involved in Somerset County, and I'm seeing companies either stay or move in. We're seeing Exxon bring 300 people into New Jersey in Hunterdon County and Annandale section. Just sold one of them a house. For the first time in memory, the U.S. is reporting 6+ million jobs and only 6 million unemployed. We just got to get that match built up a little better. The affordability index shows there's much more room for growth. Some decrease in moderate price home ownership could result. Now, this is an interesting point. Since we doubled the standard deduction for a couple from $6,000 to $1,200K, a couple that was going to buy a $300,000 house, average house price in New Jersey is $330,000. Just happens to be $400,000 and $500,000 in Somerset because we're very affluent counties. But a couple buying that house might get a big tax bite back at the end of the year. But now they're going to get it whether they buy the house or not. So there's no incentive to buy it other than the appreciation factor, living where you want to live and living there on your own schedule. Because if you're renting, there's always a chance that the rent may not be renewed for one reason or another. We could see some high-end fallout. We're not going to know until people start doing their taxes. The commercial real estate market is going to flourish because if you think this Jobs Tax and Jobs Act is helping people individually, you should see what it's doing in the commercial field. It's literally letting people take full depreciation if they can buy an item. The midterm elections, it's a crapshoot. We're about 100 days out. If you listen to all the wherewithal that goes on television, you're probably like me. You just want to shut it off and go watch fish swim or something. It's insane. It's insane. It's never, although I think it's been as nasty as this forever because I've studied history and I watched what Lincoln and Roosevelt went through and it wasn't much different. But when Lincoln and Roosevelt went through it, it didn't get the news coverage it was getting today. And the news coverage certainly doesn't seem to be fair. Anyway, whether it's right or wrong, it seems to be 80% one way, 20% the other, if that. Midterm elections, crapshoot. We still don't know what it's going to mean. And the people in our houses more than 10 years are starting to bail. That's good news because it's going to open up houses for next year. And let's go through the anatomy of a first-time buyer. They buy a house between 150 and 3, sometimes a little more. That person sells them the house and times out and buys a house between $3,000 and $450,000. That person sells them a house and they buy a house between $5,000 and $6,000. That person sells a house and they used to buy a house in the 7s or 8s. These are the people that aren't trading up anymore, that upper end of the baby boomers. They're probably not selling the house, but for other reasons, they're leaving the state or they need a smaller house and they are starting to sell a house. So they're not trading up, but we're starting to see some sales. At least I have. And I consider it very gratifying because what we're seeing is what is needed. We need to get more inventory. If we get more inventory, we're going to have more sales. And if we have more sales, we're going to have a stronger economy here in New Jersey. What we do need is entry-level housing in the free market. And that gets to be back above the COAH level. COA, it's called Council on Affordable Housing. They dictate that we have to blend people into our towns at a given pace, and that given pace is based on the amount of people below the median income level that we have in the county. So it says to a general effect that if you're disadvantaged, we should give you the opportunity to live in a better area than where you're probably stuck at today. And number two, we can force the towns to build enough housing so that you can do that. Now, every town thinks it's a good idea. In most cases, where they want to build a housing at isn't exactly where the people that are living already are at. They're looking for areas that are better than where the people that would be occupying it are coming from. And in some developments, if it's a rental development, they've got to set 15% aside for this. But if it's a sale-only development, the rules are a lot different, and they vary by town. But in talking with John, the mayor of John Higgins, mayor of Clinton Township, he told me of three different COA developments going up. I talked with Janice from Clinton, and she said the same thing. We've got at least one going up and one free market going up. And once we get through this COA, we need to fulfill the quotient that they've given us. We can start to look to the future, maybe more easily build entry-level housing. But here's what we're seeing, and it's a paradox. People find out they're going to put a COA project down the street from them, and they show up at the planning meeting thinking they're going to stop it. Well, guess what? They're not. They weren't at the planning meeting 4 years ago when this all got discussed. They weren't sitting through the last 3 years of arguments where it got debated and then finally forced upon the towns in a lot of cases. And now they're going to show up and stop it? Not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. It takes 4 years to get things through at a bare minimum, sometimes a lot longer. And once they realize that, my God, they're going to put this kind of housing within walking distance of where I'm living, it's usually too late to stop it. There's nothing wrong with it. And I've seen there's some developments in Beaverbrook where the level along, I'm thinking of Alton Place. Alton Place, all for sale units. There's nothing for rent in there unless somebody became a landlord and rented it back out. But there's about 24 affordable housing units, but they're built down along 78, not the most prime section of it, because the further away you get from 78, the more quiet it is. But they sell below $100,000 for a two-bedroom, and they sell to the people that COA was intended should buy this. But for the most part, COA is rental only, and we need to be building. We just built in Clinton, right next to the library, a 6 or 7 floor. Maybe it's not that high, but it seems like it is. Rental only, and some of those are set aside for COA because it has to be by law. So no matter where you live, there's going to be some COA. If you live in Warren or Watchung, there's COA going on. It's not just here. It's not just Hunterdon. It's not just Somerset. It's statewide. And it looks like we're going to have to put 200,000 of these units in order to fill the legal obligations that have been set for us. So I suggest you get involved at the town level in the affordable housing area, either COA or at least entry level. How can we get some entry level? And I want to get somebody on here in the next week or two and talk about workforce housing, because that's what we need. It's almost going back to what we saw in It's a Wonderful Life. People needed post-World War II housing in order to get kick-started. And right now, in order to live in Hunterdon County, and if you earn $50,000, which is more than a two-year college degree is going to afford you, trades are typically only making that kind of money after they've been in the business for a while or started their own. But if you earn $50,000, you can only afford $1,250 mortgage. We simply don't have houses or condos or townhouses that sell for what would be $1,250 a month. You can't even rent one for $1,250 a month. Our rentals are in the $1,300s and $1,400s. So this problem needs to be addressed. If you want to do something, either as a realtor or as a resident, get involved in your town planning board and get involved at the affordable housing and COA levels so that you understand what is going on, because it is going to affect you. You shouldn't be surprised. My name is Joe Peters. I will be back next week with a guest. I haven't got an acceptance on it yet, so I'm not going to pre-announce it. And before I go, I'm going to give you one more time about my paid commercial.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, this is Joe Peters signing out. I'll see you next Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And for Real Estate Matters on the 7th of August, 2018, thank you for listening in.
USA Radio News.
Today, the Mendocino Fire, which is burning northwest of Sacramento, became the largest fire in California's history. Firefighters are continuing to battle the situation, but this man says it's so sad to see people lose all they had.
What can you say? It makes you sick to your stomach. Everything they've worked for all their life, gone in a heartbeat.
The search continues for University of Iowa student Molly Tibbetts. Now, she went missing almost 3 weeks ago. Now, her father is still holding out hope and believes she may be with someone.
I do believe that every day that we don't find Molly hurt or harmed, that she's somewhere where we can get her home safe. There's a logical scenario that she left with someone that she maybe knew. But again, that's all just speculation on my part, and a hope that she's somewhere that she's still safe and healthy, and we can get her home.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. You're listening to USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or perhaps want to be one for the first time, listen up. Seeking non-doctor entrepreneurs to operate a niche medical clinic for erectile dysfunction with no needles, no medication, and no surgery. I tried it out myself to see if it works. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's an all-cash business. No insurance. The income potential is enormous. You need $100,000 liquid to get started. Go to medicalpartnership.info. That's medicalpartnership.info. Medicalpartnership.info.
Congress is considering a sweeping package of proposals that could affect air travelers. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has a summary.
The current law authorizing operations of the federal